listening to the Modern Horrors Podcast Network.
Today's episode of Final Girls Horrorcast is brought to you by Joey, Monica, and Watch for Zombies.
Hey there, lovelies, and thanks for joining us on the 328th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we're discussing The Fly, which was requested to us by our Patreon subscriber, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. We were excited.
Oh, yeah, we were. We've been talking about this one for a while, but it's never streaming. As a reminder, we do tend to spoil things, so continue at your own risk. The Fly is available to rent or buy wherever you do those things, so check it out before continuing if you've never seen it and you are spoiler sensitive. Although, I think you get the idea.
I think most people at least know what The Fly is about.
Same.
Yeah. But before we jump into today's film, let's get started with the segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Sting with an April 12th release date. It's written and directed by Kaya Roche Turner. The IMDb summary is, after raising an unnerving talented spider in secret, 12-year-old Charlotte must face the facts about her pet and fight for her family's survival when the once charming creature rapidly transforms into a giant, flesh-eating monster.
Once charming.
When it was little, it was like sing to her and they were friends.
I guess.
I'm into it. I think it looks great.
It looks like I will have to sit in the back of the theater.
That you're the one that picked this one, and some things you missed the first time you watched this, huh?
It's true. I obviously was not paying close attention the first time that I saw it. I saw it over the weekend because I went to the movies and I was like, oh my gosh, the spider and the fly. We have to do this for the trailer.
It's a good call. It's a good pairing for sure.
I think so too. Yeah, this looks fun. It looks equal parts like funny.
Yes.
And also terrifying.
I think it looks like it's got some like good creepy special effects and I'm into it. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah.
Sometimes those like eight-legged freaks, you know, like sometimes
get cheesy.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't look. It looks kind of like a Black Widow. It's a very crunchy looking.
Yes.
Spindly armed.
Correct.
Spider.
Pointy. No, thank you.
Super pointy. Super pointy
so
legs.
Pointy.
Carly's favorite.
I can't.
A second week in a row with the bugs, Carly. You're like,
I know, you're
not
you're
that
welcome.
It's not a bug, it's an arachnid, but still, like, what's going on with you?
Look, that's just what we're getting right now. I mean, last week it was just because it's coming out in April, but like this one, I couldn't not. It's also coming out in April, and we're also doing The Fly, so it just felt right.
It just, you know, we're just gonna keep it up. Do we have another spider trailer for next week?
I hope not.
Only time will tell. It looks good, though. Check out the trailer. I don't think it shows too much.
No, I don't think it does either.
And I do think it looks kind of charming and creepy, and I'm into it. I'm not usually into, like, the giant creature kind of movies, but this looks great. And I love how it's, like, taking place during a snowstorm in an apartment building. It's like, these people aren't going anywhere.
Totally.
It does seem weird that there'd be spiders during a snowstorm. But I guess if it's your pet and you're keeping it warm, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes.
It's kind of magic spider.
A magic exciting. Evil spider.
Evil giant spider. All right. Cool. I'm in.
Same.
Yeah.
All right. Should we jump into the feature?
Please do. Please do. Let's keep this rolling. We're moving and shaking.
Amazing.
Gross.
Sorry. We are going to be talking about The Fly from 1986, requested by Larry, who says, thank you for talking about David Cronenberg's 1986 horror classic. I chose it because of all the age-inappropriate movies my parents took me to in the 80s. The Fly really stuck, no pun intended, with me. It wasn't jokey like Freddy or funny like Jason. I've only watched it three times since 1986 because of the body horror and fly puke truly is disgusting. A classic that I never want to watch again.
That's the reason I want to watch it all the time.
Well, you love that body horror. You love that fly puke.
I really do. I love body horror and practical effects and special effects makeup and all that stuff. The grosser, the better.
100%. 100%. So The Fly is written and directed by the one, the only, David Cronenberg. Also directed by Charles Edward Pogue, who did Dragonheart. And it is based on the story by George Langelon, that debuted originally in the 1957 issue of Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
The IMDb trivia summary. Oh, no, the IMDb summary, not trivia.
What's a trivia summary?
A trivia summary. We'll get to that after this.
How much cough syrup did you have?
I have had none, which is probably the problem.
Okay, gotcha.
A brilliant but eccentric scientist begins to transform into a giant man-fly hybrid after one of his experiments goes horribly wrong.
I mean, I guess it is an experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That poor baboon.
We, of course, have seen The Fly before. This is not new to us, but we've never covered it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done several Cronenberg films on the show.
We have.
So this is a welcome addition to our Cronenberg series.
I agree. This movie is so good. And I think I hadn't seen it in a really long time. What about you?
It's been a minute. I actually bought this on Blu-ray years ago. And it was still like wrapped in plastic. Like I never watched it. So it was fun to break that out and check it out. I really, I remember watching it on TV as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was one of those movies that was always on TV. I remember being at my grandparents' house and watching it on like Sunday. You know, on a Sunday. Because mm-hmm. we always went over to their house on Sundays for dinner. And yeah, I definitely remember, but you know, all the good stuff's cut out on TV, but
yeah,
I definitely remember that. And I've definitely watched it a few times since then. So, but it, you know, there were a lot of little things that I didn't remember a lot of.
Same. I feel it really just jumps right into it, right?
Yeah, the beginning is weird.
I thought I like missed something, yeah. Even though I literally like press play.
Yeah.
Because it felt like I pressed play and like they were already like halfway into their conversation. And I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, it starts in the middle of a conversation. Like, you know, normally maybe you'd see, you know, Gina Davis talking with someone being bored and then she sees mm-hmm. him and then she like goes over to talk to him or something. Then you can start that conversation. But it's weird because it starts just in the middle of their conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And I noticed, and I think it's because I've been watching a lot of like more recent, longer movies lately,
yeah.
where the character development and the story development really builds, whereas this one, it just kind of feels like you're like thrown in the middle of it,
yeah.
which then does pay off later because you kind of have more time to explore him really
metamorphosizing.
Okay, that's what I was going to say, but yeah. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
No, I think that's right.
Into the Fly, which I think was really interesting because the pacing of this movie is really good.
Yeah, I think it is really good, but it is I think we could have spent like 20 more seconds on the mm-hmm. beginning. It feels a little weird, to be honest.
It feels like you're kind of catching up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, wait, did I miss something? Did I look mm-hmm. away during an important, like, I think there's no establishing shot. Maybe that's what I'm missing. Like, something yeah. leading us to this event. I mean, granted, we didn't really miss much, right? Like, it doesn't actually matter. Like, we get it.
No. Yeah. We're not missing anything.
Yeah.
Like, we're already there. We catch up. We catch up pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm surprised to see... and I'll get to it more later, but the women in this film, not that there's many of them, there are a total of two, both of them make terrible decisions on a, it seems fairly consistency, fairly yeah. consistently. She just gets in his car and goes to his house. Like, oh no, she drives, right? She drives, mm-hmm. but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like a warehouse.
Oh yeah. It's so sketch.
Yeah. It's like, you might be murdered. What are you doing? And there's no cell phones. You can't like, you know, do your woman safety of taking pictures of license plates and sending it to your friend or or well, what have you. I think
that's the thing, right? Because they meet, we're supposed to kind of assume, because he makes the comment of like, why I'm going to tell you my idea in front of like a bunch of scientists.
Yeah.
So like, she probably feels safe. She obviously like knows of this person. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. And I mean, he is reputable.
Yes.
He's reputable yes. in the science field, and she is a science she's a science journalist.
Yes.
So, yes, I mean, I get it, but it did make me go a little like, she might get murdered. Like this, if this were me, I might be like, I might get murdered.
I didn't feel that way about her. I definitely felt that way about the girl at the end.
Yeah, I think both of them maybe. Just a little safeguarding, ladies, you know?
Yeah. You know, different time.
Yeah, it's true.
Like different just, time.
Yeah. I think that it's charming. I think, you know, watching Jeff Goldblum like go through this entire transformation, like getting to know him and then seeing this transformation is a really well paced though. Mm-hmm. I like the way they did it. I think if they spent any more time on him, it would have hurt more.
Yeah, I agree. I will say movie is fantastic, but this I discovered that Mel Brooks is a producer, was an executive producer on this movie. Mm-hmm. And I immediately went down the rabbit hole of like how this movie was made. And it's almost like more fascinating than the movie.
It's super because, fascinating.
Like there were so many like ebbs and flows, like mm-hmm. script thing, like I guess when Charles Edward Pogue originally like wrote the first draft of the script, it was like totally different because mm-hmm. the original Fly story or and movie even is like a family and like there's like little kids involved. Vincent Price is in it. It's like a yeah. man who swaps heads with a fly, which is really interesting. But then like I guess the script that he was writing was more about like a husband and wife that couldn't have a child. And so that's why this thing was being created. And then the original director fell through because he had a tragedy, but they were still trying to get it made. And then Cronenberg came on and he was like, I want to write it. He ended up writing it and decided to like split the credit with Pogue, which I mm-hmm. think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the effort that it took to make this.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like casting it, like they found they didn't find him. Like, he was already, you know, Jeff Goldblum existed in Hollywood, but he was not the name that he is now, obviously. Right. But they pushed for him, and the studio was like, it's a terrible idea, but if it's your, you know, if you want to go through with it, then go through with it. And I feel like that would never happen now, mm-hmm. or it wouldn't, it's not, it's, like, so much, like, less likely, right, to happen yeah. now.
Yeah.
And he and Gina Davis were, like, dating at the time, and it's, like,
yeah, they had great got chemistry. Her the,
yeah, they had yeah. such good chemistry, and he got her the audition, and it's just, like, the making of this movie is completely fascinating, and it makes me like the movie that much more.
Yeah, for sure. It's
I loved it.
You know, I was watching the Blu-ray, and I was like, oh, there's special features, like, and, ooh, there's little mini documentaries on how the movie was made, and I was like, how awesome, I'm gonna watch it. But I don't, it looked like it was made a long time ago, and it I don't know who they got to edit this thing, or lack thereof, because it was like unwatchable. It was really awful. So I watched some of it, and I got through some of the like story on, you know, how it was original, like the original Fly, and where it started as a Playboy short story and turned into this other thing and turned into this other thing. And I was just like, I'm going to fall asleep because it's like, edit, people, edit. We don't need to hear every word that every person has to say about this movie. Like, you're supposed to cut some of it down to like the interesting things. So it was, I couldn't get through it. It was too much.
Oh, yeah. I went down the rabbit hole because I borrowed the Scream Factory release of it from one of my friends. And so I kind of, I also went down that same rabbit hole.
Nice.
And I was just like, found myself being like, more, I want more, tell me more. Like, it's just so fascinating. Like, apparently Jeff Goldblum, like, after he got the role, just started like working out crazy, and so he's like super buff in the movie.
Yes.
And then just kind of like took off leading man status.
And also like there's no way he would be, right? Like
prior to the Fly status,
this gangly scientist would not be nearly that hunky. Pre-fly genetic mutation.
Pre-fly. Yes. Correct. Afterwards. And then he's like doing all those acrobatics. I was like, all right.
Yeah, that was hunky for sure. But that's okay. So funny because when they first get into his warehouse and he just immediately doesn't say, hey, welcome to my place, immediately sits at his piano and starts playing piano for her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Ken, please stop. Like, no.
That was a Jeffism, though, because like, he played piano.
I know,
so they were,
but
like,
I just would have turned around and left. Like, I don't.
It was giving guitar vibes.
Yeah.
It was Ken giving, on the beach, like, playing Matchbox 20.
I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to immediately try to impress you with my piano skills. Although it does kind of make sense because he's an introverted weirdo. Like, he's an introverted, nerdy weirdo. He doesn't know how to hit on a woman, which is very apparent at that party because he's like trying to impress her. And I really think that that works well for him. And like, once he gets his like fly confidence, like, kind of morphs into this monster. And it's not, and at first, it's not the fly's fault. I don't think it's the fly's fault that he turns into an asshole first. Right? Because that's what happens first. It's like this confidence he gets, this like machismo bullshit.
Yeah. He's all of a sudden ripped. He's all of a sudden can do all of these things.
Yeah.
He has all of this like energy, like he says.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's the confidence thing that immediately like flips the switch almost.
And beyond the physical, he did something insanely awesome, right? He transported a human from one place to another. Like, I think that's like the main confidence boost. Like, he started to feel like God and he started to act like he was God, you know, wanting to like force her to do it. And just, I don't know how much of that is actually the fly. And I like to think that it's not the fly because flies aren't assholes, they're flies. I mean, maybe they are in the fly world.
Yeah, we don't know.
I guess we don't know. And that particular fly could have been a real dick, I suppose.
Yeah. I think it's a mix. Because I think the difference is kind of gradual, you know, and she kind of sees it at the beginning and then she sees it more and more as it kind of is more in your face and he becomes more aggressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I definitely think it's a mix.
I think he already had like a hint of that at the beginning because of what he created.
Totally.
But it just certainly exacerbated it after he successfully transported himself. But yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I think Jeff Goldblum really kills it in this. Like,
oh my God, he really
does. His performance is really like stunning. And Gina Davis also, like, I really felt for her. Like, for a movie that's about the silliest thing in the world, like, it really is heartbreaking. Like, I really was heartbroken for her.
Oh my gosh, at the end when he like takes the gun
and like puts it at his head. No.
I'm like, no. And you don't want it, like, what we're feeling for this thing
yes.
that, like, has really been a monster up until this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But because of how well Jeff Goldblum plays it at the beginning, you want this character, you want it to get fixed somehow.
Yeah.
Even though it won't.
Yeah. I don't want to jump to the end, but I also do, because I don't remember that ending. I don't remember him trying to make one being that's a family, which is the craziest fucking thing I ever heard in my life.
It is crazy.
Like
I was kind of thinking that he was going to take the guy and meld them somehow.
I mean, I thought he was going to try to like reverse it. Which would make more sense to me.
No, he just wanted to be a Brundle
fly. Like, we are going to be a part fly, part human family in one being.
Yeah.
Gross.
And she was like, no,
I mean,
thank
that
you,
is more horrific than him trying to reverse it. But
100% it is.
But it what is about- a weird conclusion to jump to Seth Brundle.
Yes. Yes. What about David Cronenberg casting himself as the gynecologist?
Oh, I didn't catch that. I totally should have. It definitely was him now that you said it.
Yeah.
But he's,
it's funny, I guess.
David Cronenberg loves a gynecologist in a horror movie. It's his favorite.
So Martin Scorsese apparently asked to meet him, and when he did, he was like, you look like a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. And so he was like, I guess it was part him and like part Gina Davis who were like, you should be the gynecologist.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
It's so funny.
That whole thing is kind of wackadoodle though. Like, I mean, the conversation that happens between Gina Davis advocating for herself and two men.
Yeah.
It's like, what year is this? 2024? Oh. No, it's 1986. It's the same. like he's not even her boyfriend and he needs to advocate for her and the doctor is questioning it and it's like such an uncomfortable scene.
Well, let's wait until you're less hysterical.
Yes.
Or
the fuck?
No.
She's like,
nothing's changed.
No, I'm not gonna change my mind. I want the fly baby out.
Yeah, pass.
Get the larva out, please.
No, thank you. Oh my god, the dream.
Ugh, gross.
Ugh, so gross. It's so gross.
I love the body horror in this. I love the nails coming off, the ear falling off.
I love even just the implied, like when she's supposed to be recording him and he's like, I have teeth, but they're just for show. I literally have to throw up on my food and then like eat it that way. And just like watching what's his face, watch the video.
Yeah.
You get it. Like you're like, oh, it's still gross, even though you don't see it.
Yes.
Which makes it amazing at the end of the movie when we actually see it happen.
And the arm and the legs are deteriorating from the enzyme spit.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. Good. It's delightful.
It's brilliant.
It's delightful. Although Stathis, as a character, I felt weird about him being a semi-hero of this film. Because he sucks.
He does. But yes. I think we're only seeing him from one lens.
What other lens is there?
I think we're only seeing it from the being essentially like an ex with Gina Davis. So I think that there's just automatically like that tension there versus like being like a legitimate human.
The inappropriate comments in the office, the consistent inappropriate comments, the inability to take no for an answer. I don't know what other lens to take that from.
I just think that it's the chemistry that those two even had just like off camera as well.
By the way, I don't know that actor's name, but he plays the best scumbag. I love him in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yes. Yes.
I was like,
he's great in everything.
Yeah. Does he play scumbags a lot? Those are the only two I can think of off the top of my head.
I can't recall. No, because he was in The Social Network.
Oh, okay. He wasn't in Beethoven, right? That was a different guy.
Yeah.
That kind of looks like him.
It does. Okay. It does, for sure. Fair. But yes, he does play a good jerk.
The keeping the key thing, I was like, ew, ew, change your locks now, ew.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine, like, coming home and your ex is taking a shower is, like, a huge problem.
That's a huge problem.
That's a huge problem. Absolutely not. I mean, I don't know when they broke up, but it wasn't super recently.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
I honestly don't know, because we are thrown into this moving... We were thrown onto this moving train.
I mean, it almost would have been
trying to catch up as best.
It almost would have been good to have them fighting at the very beginning, and then her leaving, and then bumping into Jeff Goldblum or something.
I don't know. I'm okay with it, because I think it establishes that yes, they're exes, but they're also like frenemies.
I just would have liked to know how much time has passed, because she feels the need after Jeff Goldblum like has this amazing thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
In his life, and she's so in love with him all at once so quickly. Mm-hmm. That she needs to leave him before celebrating to break up with someone she already broke up with. Like, to me, that's weird.
Yeah,
unless she was worried he was gonna publish that article like immediately, which I doubt. I don't know. I'm confused about the timeline a little bit is all I'm saying. She's not great at the don't shit where you eat philosophy. Mm-hmm. She loves shitting where she eats. It's her favorite.
It is her favorite. Writing a story about you, let's make out.
Yeah.
You're my boss, let's make out.
Let's do it. Like, get out and meet someone else, Veronica, you know?
You know, if you're a working person and that's all you do.
I guess.
Sometimes it's hard. To set those boundaries. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously she's comfortable enough to call him when she's having so many issues, when he's turning into a literal monster.
How much time passed between when they met and when they first got together?
Like none. Zero time.
I want to say like a week. Because there is a bit of a montage of experiments happening. Mm-hmm. And she's filming him and interviewing him. But it's not a long montage.
No. It's not a lot of time, for no. sure.
Which, I mean, we don't have a lot of time. And
no.
It certainly can happen like that. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Whirlwind
you get romance. Wrapped
up in, yeah.
You're spending all your time together. It can mm-hmm. happen. It can certainly 100%. Happen. And I think they did an okay job of that. Like, it didn't seem unbelievable to me.
No, I felt it was fine. I honestly, like, am good with the entire beginning.
Yeah.
What
aren't you good with?
I'm fine with all of it. I'm just saying I'm fine with it kind of jumping in and moving very fast.
Yeah.
So we can spend more time on the metamorphosis.
Yeah. Flipping my page. Sorry for that.
Because that's what I'm interested in, you know? Yeah,
for sure.
Like, I could care less about everything else. Show me what happens when everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Success.
Oh, sad. It's kind of a tragic
film. So sad.
I don't think I remember it being so tragic, but it is.
We got Stathis, who loses an arm and a leg.
Yeah. And we RIP to the baboon.
And we lose the baboon.
He didn't make
it. But not his brother. The brother makes it, though, right?
The brother makes it. The first baboon does not.
No, it's the same baboon.
I know. But we
Typhoon the baboon.
Yeah. It's the same baboon playing two different baboons.
Exactly. Yeah. They're brothers.
Yeah.
But when he's talking to him, I'm like, oh my God.
They're so cute. It's the cutest.
It's like, I'm so sorry that I killed your brother. And the baboon's just like, you bitch.
Yeah. Apparently, they formed a relationship, Jeff and the baboon. They became friends.
That Jeff was, thank goodness, huge and could overpower the baboon when he got a little
could, really?
Testy.
I don't know.
No, that's what the animal keeper said.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't think I would Wrangler, want to try to over...
The Wrangler and Goldblum had to keep Typhoon in check.
Oh, my goodness.
Because one time he was scared by, like, the flashing lights and broke the telepod door to get goodness. Out. Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
As he should. Maybe Typhoon don't have said, a bunch of flashing lights at a baboon. That doesn't seem like a smart idea.
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew. He knew what happened to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, get me the fuck out of here, bitch.
He said, absolutely not, please. Thank you.
Aw. I really enjoyed it. It was a good time.
I agree.
Body horror, all the gloopy gloppy mess and the nail pullings.
So much gloopy gloppy mess.
I love it when he pulls the nail off and then it oozes.
Mm-hmm.
Tony was watching it with me and he kept covering his face with the blanket.
That's my favorite.
And his,
I love it.
His like little museum that he kept in his medicine cabinet. Not refrigerated, by the way. Like, just
gross.
Just rotting in there. It's great.
Gross.
It gets real gross. It gets super gross.
It's so delightful.
In a wonderful, delightful way. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't really have much else to say about it, but I really did enjoy it. Thank you for the request, Larry.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Goodness.
Loved it.
So how are you doing over there? You got a little bit of a cold or something?
Yeah, I out of nowhere on Wednesday last week, I got sick.
Weird.
And I was out of commission for a little bit.
Maybe you caught it at the doctor's office.
I think so. I had to have. I didn't even see a movie last week. I was supposed to see Ghostbusters on Thursday and I had to cancel because I was not feeling well. But I did see a couple movies over the weekend. To make up for it.
What did you see?
I saw Late Night with the Devil and I saw Immaculate.
How was it?
They were both great.
Really?
Late Night with the Devil, definitely Ghost Watch vibes.
Yeah.
Not like scary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like intriguing. Like I was interested the whole time. Sure. Immaculate, this is what I was kind of thinking of when we were just talking about like fingernails and body horror.
Mm-hmm.
Immaculate was great. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed audience reaction to it.
Sure.
We had lots of people like, ugh, or ew, or ugh. Someone left. They were offended, I think, probably.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. I'd recommend it. I think it's a fun time.
I almost saw...
Don't see it if you have problems with, like, baby stuff, though, or, like... pregnancy.
Who, me?
No, just people that are
to
listening.
Our listeners. Yeah, no, I don't have
yeah
problem
no
that.
You'll be fine, but I had to
I'm fine preface
it. Like I have a couple friends who I know would not do well with it.
Yeah, I definitely do too. Honestly, any of my friends that have kids just can't do the baby kid thing.
Yeah, not even just that, but like also just like the act of giving birth, you know.
Sure.
Like, so if you've had like a bad pregnancy,
oh yeah, trigger warning
maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
But,
very cool.
Yeah, for you, I would say, check it out.
Okay. Well, I almost saw Late Night with the Devil over the weekend, but I missed it, and I don't know if I'll go. It's been busy here.
Well, I hope you do.
We're getting our pool refinished, and it's just like leaving is a thing, you know?
I do.
But, you know, otherwise, I'm not watching a lot. I have been watching this show called The Tourist. Have you heard of it?
I've heard. The name sounds familiar.
It's on Netflix, and it stars Jamie Dornan.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It is phenomenal. I love it. It's really good.
Really?
I would recommend it. It's two seasons. I'm almost done with the second season. I'm kind of upset about it. Kind of like an action... A little bit of comedy thrown in. It's great.
I love that.
I've been binging that. And then what else have I been watching? I don't really know. Probably not much else. We watched American Ultra last night, randomly, which I had never seen. Have you seen that?
I haven't. But just for no good reason. I think it was just I didn't get around to it.
It has terrible reviews, but it's great. I don't know. I had no problem with it. I mean,
I feel like I like those two actors together.
Yeah. I think, you know, Kristen Stewart's not super Kristen Stewarting in it, so it works well. And Jesse Eisenberg, that's his name, right? Is great. I really liked it. I watched the new Roadhouse.
How was it? I've been hearing mixed things.
Well, it depends on what your expectations of Roadhouse are.
Sure.
It seems like the people who don't like it were expecting, I don't know what. Like, I honestly don't know what you're expecting with a reimagining of Roadhouse. Art? I don't know. I was severely entertained the entire time. I especially like the beginning and the middle of the film. The ending is not my favorite. The ending, to me, even for a Roadhouse reimagining, still kind of jumps the shark a little bit, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It stops making as much sense, whereas I think everything else, like, really, like, yeah, the movie's a little goofy, but it's supposed to be, but it still makes sense. You know what I mean? You know how sometimes movies, even though they're goofy, like someone obviously put the energy into writing a backstory and making everything people are doing make sense. And
then suddenly, there's a good way to do goofy.
Yes. And then suddenly at the end, they stopped doing that. People are doing things and I'm like, wait, how did you get there? And why are you caring so much about this? And, you know, so I think that maybe it fell off a little bit at the end for me, but I also just don't really care because it's Roadhouse. You know, I'd watch it again. I thought it was fun.
Nice.
I like those goofy action films.
Yeah.
You would like it too. You would like
it. I bet I would.
I think you would like it. Just, you know,
I feel like I would
keep the expectations in check. Don't go in expecting, you know, an art house film or something.
Sure. It looks like there's quite a few writers on it, so that might be why.
I'm surprised it didn't hit theaters, but apparently, you know, it was always supposed to go. It was always supposed to be released on Amazon. I think they said you can have more money and have it be an Amazon release with very limited theatrical release, or you can have it be a theatrical release and have less money. And they went with more money. So,
Why wouldn't you? That seems backwards, doesn't it?
It does seem backwards, but I think it costs a lot of money to release things in theaters.
I just think, but then you don't make
money. Well, I think they must be making something on it. I don't know how it works.
The Amazon Theater is down the street from my house. I wonder if it's playing there.
Oh, it might be. I would think
it
might be.
I'm sure it costs no money for them to play it there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a great job. People are complaining about it. I don't really get what they're complaining about. Like, what
people
were you expecting this to be?
Just to complain, you know?
But I love those kind of, I love original Roadhouse, which is also insanely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I do love a good action film. That especially like the person who can fight in any circumstance and always win. I'm a big fan of that. I love Nobody. I love all those crazy fucking movies. Pig.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Not Pig. I like that. I like that trope. So it's kind of the same thing. He is an ex-IFC or IFC?
UFC.
UFC. What is wrong with me? IFC. I have movies on the brain. He's an ex-UFC fighter who was hired at a Roadhouse. So there you go.
To be a beach bouncer.
Do it. You should check it out. It's free. Why not?
Love Free.
What else you got going on? You know,
I have Vampire Diaries going on. So
how's that going?
It's good. I don't know what I can say or shouldn't say.
Right.
For spoiler purposes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think, but, you know, our audience always, is big on Vampire Diaries.
Probably not. But it's always like, oh, I'm just going to watch this one episode. And then it's right. like, just kidding. You're going to watch 5 episodes.
Sure.
So
it has that effect.
That's where I'm at.
Did you notice yet that every season has 2 finales?
I don't even know seasons, to be honest, because yeah. I just have been playing. So, you mean like part 1, part 2?
No, I mean like each season's 20-something episodes. About mm-hmm. halfway through the season, there's a finale. Like something that feels like a finale, like a villain that gets beat. And then there's another thing that happens. And then there's another finale at the actual end of the season.
Yeah, because they do that because they start in the fall and then mm-hmm. there's like winter break. And so then they usually don't come back till February.
Yes.
And so there's like, yeah.
Which that I really happens. Enjoy. It keeps it moving, you know?
Yeah.
We don't fixate on one villain for too long.
Well, we don't see that a lot now because seasons are like 6 to 10 episodes. Right. But like, when you actually have, like, Grey's Anatomy, they always have, like, a winter thing and then a spring thing. So
how far along are you at this point?
I feel like I'm coming towards the end of season 4.
Okay. I mean, you should be, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm definitely not in season 5 yet, though.
All right. Fair.
It's great.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm really happy about it.
This is not my favorite season.
Sure.
I feel like I can feel a lot of things happen. Like, I'm like, I really don't care about the originals, but I know that they're getting their own show. So there's been like a couple episodes that really focuses on like them and like going to New Orleans, even though I'm like, I don't really care about them going to New Orleans. So like, let's move it along.
That's actually the pilot. There is a pilot for the originals.
And it felt like it.
Yeah. It's not at all a Vampire Diaries. There's like one scene at the very beginning and then the rest of it's the originals. I skipped that one because I was like, I don't need to watch the pilot of the originals.
I didn't even know. I just let it play, you know? No.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say.
But now you get the plot of the originals in case you want to watch that next.
It's not going to happen.
No, okay.
So.
There's 2 spinoffs, you know. There's the originals, and then there's another one where they start a school or something.
Who?
I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Don't look it up. Please do not look it up.
I won't.
Until you're done, because it's going to spoil things, and I don't want you to look it up. But but there are 2 spinoffs, which I thought was kind of funny.
That is funny.
Yeah. All right, well, keep me updated on your Vampire Diaries adventure because I'm interested.
I will, most definitely.
I'm interested. All right. I don't really have anything else.
This is kind of our last listener request episode.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll keep the wheel and like keep some of the stuff that's streaming and move it over to our regular wheel because there were some really good requests this year that we just did not get to. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't hear your request yet, like it could still happen, you know?
Yeah.
Throughout the year. So don't fret.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, because a lot of them are streaming and are good selections.
And that means we don't have to zhuzh up the wheel. We can just, you know. Add those.
Zhuzh it up.
Yeah.
Speaking of the wheel, we are taking a month off from the wheel.
Oh my God, tell me why.
It's almost April. April is my birthday month. And so on my birthday month, we get to do movies that I like. And what I like is 80s movies that are super weird. So
yay!
That's right. You heard me. It's 80s were weird month. Starting in just 1 week, I've selected a series of movies that I have not seen before, and I'm going to sprinkle in a couple I have. The first movie we're going to be discussing is called American Gothic, and it is available to stream on Prime Video and Tubi TV.
Yeah.
AKA Tubi TV.
Amazing. Don't you dare.
So, no wheel, just that. And you're welcome. I mean, I haven't seen it, but also you're welcome.
I'm excited.
I'm excited
for some crazy,
get wacky with it.
Movies.
It's a great, yeah. And it's a great segue from The Fly. We're already in the 80s. Why not just continue with the 80s? You know,
I love it. I love it. Yes. I love this for us.
I also love this for us. So there you go.
Amazing.
American Gothic next week. Anything else?
No, that's all it right. For me.
Well, then until next week when we're discussing American Gothic, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Ooh. Those were two different notes.
Me.
It's
yeah,
fine. You're sick.
Me.
It's okay.
I apologize. I did my best.
You did a good job.